You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
Did anybody see the pianist give me the stink eye? She gave me the stink eye. No, She did. She gave me... I got to pick on her, you know? It was a beautiful song. And believe it or not, our anniversary is coming up. We'll be married 24 years coming up May 31st. So she's put up with me for a very long, long time. And so she's definitely the better half of the marriage, you know. So somebody else agrees with that. So, yes. So she's definitely the better looking half, too. But open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And just a reminder here, in two weeks, June 1st, we're going to be having our picnic outside. So if you come at 9 o'clock, you're going to have to wait till 11 o'clock. Now, you could still come at 9 o'clock and help do stuff. But we're not going to start the preaching until 11 o'clock. And so plan to be here for that. It's going to be a great time, June 1st. And bring aside. I'll say this. Bring aside. We're going to supply the hamburgers, the hot dogs, and some fried chicken. You guys are responsible for bringing the sides, the desserts, and different things like that. So plan to bring something. And if you can't cook, buy something and bring that, and it'll get eaten. And if you haven't been able to touch base with Todd, touch base with him about being able to help set up and those kind of things. It takes a lot to set up all the tables and all the chairs and clean up and all that stuff. And so let's join together in helping there. I would anticipate we probably have close to 300 people this time. And so just be mindful of that and be able to help out. And then June 15th through the 17th, you're definitely going to want to kind of zone in. And I'm asking you to begin to pray and ask the Lord now to prepare your heart for revival. You'll definitely want to be here the week before revival, because we're going to kind of talk about and prepare our hearts for revival. And so not for your spouse's revival or for your kids' revival, but for your own reviving of your own heart and setting yourself on fire for the Lord. And so you'll definitely want to be here. Monday and Tuesday, we are going to do dinner, okay? We're going to do dinner Monday and Tuesday. We understand people are getting off of work. So we're going to do dinner from 5 to 6 o'clock on Monday and Tuesday, which would be the 16th and the 17th. So we'll have dinner. We're going to try to set some up outside and some up inside. Just pray for some good weather so that way it's not raining outside, because we know we're not going to fit everybody in the basement. And so we'll do dinner both days for the family, so that way you don't have to cook. If you're coming, come in your work clothes. I don't care if you're greasy. I don't care if you're muddy. I don't care if you're stinky. Just come, you know, be here. We're trying to do everything we can to make sure that we help you out. And so it's Monday and Tuesday, 16th and 17th. The service is going to be at 6. And then obviously Sunday night services are normally at 6 or small groups. So we're going to keep it the same across the board. So do plan to be here. And just ask the Lord to begin to prepare your heart now for that. And so Ecclesiastes chapter 10, today we're looking at a comparison of the wise man's ways versus the foolish man's ways. Anybody still feel tired this morning? I feel like today's just a little like, just not quite woke up this morning. So let's see if we can't wake up a little bit. But if we can, let's stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to read one verse, and this is really the almost the pivotal verse in this chapter, at least for these first 10 verses that we're going to look at today. So read it with me, if you would. It says, if the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength, but wisdom is profitable to direct. Let's pray. Lord, I love you and I thank you. For wisdom, Lord, I thank you that you have given to us a whole entire book of wisdom, not earthly wisdom, but godly wisdom from above. Lord, I pray that you would help us today. to be able to look at the difference between a wise man and a foolish man and how he lives his life and the outcomes and the repercussions of living that foolish life. Lord, I pray that you would teach us today, instruct us. I do pray that you would meet each one of us where we're at. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each one of us, that the Holy Spirit and the Word of God would uniquely, as you know we have need, Lord, meet us where we're at. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And so, number one, write it down, a comparison of the wise man's ways versus the foolish man's ways. Number one, little sins. Little sins. Anybody ever heard of little sins before? Okay, we're going to talk about little sins here. Does anybody believe in little sins? Okay, I'm good. I'm seeing some good eyeballs, some good contact right there. Like, what? What are you talking about? And so how a person views sin and deals with sin will show whether they are a wise or foolish individual. This is the first and greatest comparison that we really see here as we begin to read verse number one. It says, dead flies, which you can get a lot of flies up here in the UP, a whole lot of flies. I mean, I don't know where they come from. Landon, squirrel, I'm going to go down this street. He was replacing the windows over here, and I remember him taking off the siding, and they live behind your siding. That should scare you. Okay, let's keep reading. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apocryphy to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly or a little sin him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. So there's a fella who would be someone who it's talking about a guy who is, man, he's got all the potential to be great. He's got all the potential to be a great leader, to be a great individual, but something happens along the way, and this fella lets in a little folly. He lets in a little sin, and it causes a big stink. That's what it says, right? A little sin, a little folly for someone in reputation, for someone that is in leadership, a little sin, a little folly causes a big stink. Solomon, the Song of Solomon 2:15 says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. And that verse talks about how it's the what we believe to be little sins in our lives that actually cause great destruction, because the little foxes, they would go nip at the base of the vine, right? Remember when Jesus says, I am the vine, you're the branches? Jesus is the base. He's the root where we all come from, right? And so where Solomon's talking about those little foxes come and they nip at the bottom of the base. It's just a small little bite here and there. It's just a small little bit here and there, basically causing the whole vine to die. Little sins lead to big disasters. Small compromises lead to big disasters. Only a foolish person would think any sin is a small sin. I hear people say, well, it's just it's just a little lie, a little lie. Is it really, though? Is it really just a little lie? When a person falls for the lie of the devil and takes the bait of the little sin, you can guarantee that greater sin will always follow. It's small compromises. Well, I'm just going to compromise here, but it always leads to more compromise and more compromise, to where that pastor, I can't tell you how many times in just the years that I've been here 5 years, since I've been here, I know four pastors who have been in reputation and have compromised and taken small compromise and small little sins, and they led to bigger sins, and they're no longer in the ministry. It's a sad thing when someone who has the potential. Can I say that we all are that someone? It's not some of us have the potential to do great things for God. All of us do. And the devil understands that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And if he can get you to settle on small compromises and small sins did God really say to Adam and Eve, right? When the devil was tempting Eve in the garden, he said, did God really say? And he tries to get us to make small compromises to, it's just one time. I'm going to do it one time. It's okay. Just one look or one glance or just one bye or just one ingestion or just one night. We make these small compromises, but it leads to great disasters. Dead flies cause the ointment of the hypocrisy to send forth a stinking savor. The person who is in reputation to be that leader, to whether it's in the family, whether it's in the church, whether it's in the workplace, and he allows sin to creep in, it becomes a stinking savor. Like, just a sad, sad thing. Because this ointment is very valuable that they're talking about here. It's not something to just be disregarded because it was carelessly handled. That person who had great potential to do great things now has missed opportunities for greatness because they let what they thought was a little sin in, only to find out its big, devastating consequences. Don't be the person that falls for the lie of the devil that says, hey, it'll be all right just this once. You can do this little thing just this once. A wise man will look at all sin the same, no matter how big it may seem in the eyes of man, because a wise man will view sin from God's perspective, not the world's perspective. The world says, hey, you can go sleep around, no big deal. The world says, hey, you could tell a little white lie, no big deal. You know, it always baffles me because when you look at Revelations 21:8, and I would challenge you, write it down, go look it up sometime. It says, it talks about all those being cast into the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It talks about all those that are going into their final resting place who have rejected Jesus Christ. And it says, all the abominable, the whoremongers, the adulterers, the sorcerers, right? And all these big sins, right? And then murderers. I mean, we would all say, man, there are some pretty egregious sins, right? And then right there at the very end, and all liars shall have their part in a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Has anybody in here ever told a lie? I have my hand up. And there's two of us. Good job, teenagers. I have two teenagers that raise their hand. So I'm with you. I have both my hands raised. And God views all sin as big sin, which when we view it, and so here this person that was in great reputation to do great things allowed little sins to come in to cause that stinking savor of their life, which leads to this second point B, which leads to a poor reputation. A poor reputation. I never gave you A, did I? Leads to missed opportunities. Missed opportunities. Little sins leads to missed opportunities, basically saying they had the platform to step into opportunities, but they allowed little sins to take that away. But then we see a B, it also leads to a poor reputation. You know, especially what I've learned here in a small town is when you mess your reputation up, it's a hard thing to get it right. You know what I'm saying? If people only remember you for what you've done, and it takes a long time to erase that past reputation or that view that you have given people by your life's example. That's why the Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Because at any time, a person can earn more money, but to get back a reputation, it's extremely hard. You know, case in point, those pastors that fell away, some of them fell away due to adultery. That reputation is going to be very hard, if not impossible, for them to get back. And they will probably never be back in the place that they were in before. The poor reputation, it leads to a poor reputation. Look at verse number 2. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. And here's really the core of what he's saying. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him. His way. Hey, I can have a little sin. I can indulge in a little folly. I can indulge. And it goes on to say, it says, and he saith to everyone that he is a fool. Basically, his actions are telling everybody that you're a fool. It's not somebody, because it's interesting, because it's not somebody calling you a fool. That's not what Solomon's saying here. He's saying that your actions prove whether or not you are a fool or not. It says, he saith to everyone that he's a fool because he's not willing to listen to wise counsel. That wisdom, his wisdom faileth, basically saying, hey, I can indulge in a little bit of sin. It won't hurt me. It won't mess with me. This foolish man who takes the bait of sin that is in reputation for greatness, now with a poor reputation because of his actions, he tells everyone he is a foolish person. Understand, he may not say it with his words, but he is saying it with his actions. Our actions still speak louder than our words. Would anybody agree with that? A lot of people say and talk spiritually, but where you know if a person is truly wise or foolish is in their actions, not in their speech. The Pharisees had the speech down pat, but their actions demonstrated something that was different. Love you've forgotten. Mercy you've forgotten. Yes, you've got these things right and your verbiage is right, but there's something detrimental missing. And it's important that we understand our actions speak louder than our words, and our words may suggest we are wise, but our actions will prove it. See, this guy's actions are validating that he is not wise. He is a fool. That's what his actions are validating. And so be mindful of that. A little sin leads to missed opportunities of leadership or reputation. That person, little sins lead to a poor reputation, but then see, little sins lead to trouble with authority. Trouble with authority. Verse 4 says, if the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee because of the foolish thing that you've done, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. You ever been in trouble and you just want to run and hide away? Anybody ever been there before? Or you get proud and you're like, I don't know who, and we talked about this a little before. He's kind of hit some of these things before where we get proud, like, who do you think you are correcting me? And so if the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, all right, and that great offense, literally offense there means sin. Somewhere along the lines, what you've done or what this individual, that person that was in position for reputation and honor, lets a little folly in, a little sin in, and now he's in trouble with authority. When the foolish man sins and now stands in judgment for the wrong that he has done, his first inclination is to flee from judgment. But a wise man, because it doesn't matter if you're wise or foolish, we're going to mess up and make mistakes, but how we deal with those times of correction when God is trying to deal with us, I was thinking about this morning, God has to break a man before he can make a man. And when we buck and rebel that authority, when God tries to work in us correctively, and we buck and we push, we're acting like that foolish man. But when we yield to authority, we don't let our pride get the best of us. Oh, I don't know who you think you are. Because that's our fleshly nature. Even me. I remember I lost my very first job. Be a little transparent. I'm sorry. I lost my very first job because my boss tried to correct me, and I cussed him out, and he fired me on the spot right there. And I walked home 6 miles because I didn't even have a car at the time because I was too proud. That's what pride will do for you. Pride won't allow you to hear instruction. And I was very foolish. And that was when I was first going to church. And I remember calling my pastor and saying, "Pastor, when's too much pride? Pride." And I was like, "Or how do you know when you have too much pride?" He says, "Well, my Bible says when you got any pride, it's too much pride." And I was like, I didn't really appreciate your answer. In God, it's amazing what a 6 mile walk after getting fired will do for you. But you know what? I got my job back. Because I went back and said, you know what? I was wrong. The difference in how a person receives correction will demonstrate whether you are on the track to be that wise individual or whether you're on the track to be that foolish individual. Because we're all going to stand in correction. None of us are perfect. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now here, the propensity of the foolish man is to leave his place and flee. The propensity of the wise man is to do what Hebrews says, submitting himself under that corrective authority. Because we know when God or when the correction comes into our life, it's for our betterment. It's for our betterment. And sometimes that's hard to see. And so we see little sins lead to missed opportunities, poor reputation, and it leads to trouble with authority. But then number two, errors in leadership. Errors in leadership. And be mindful now. We're talking about the wise man versus the foolish man, and the outcomes and the differences between the two. Errors in leadership: A, promoting the wrong people and rejecting the right people for the job. Errors in leadership. Look at verse number 5. Promoting the wrong people and rejecting the right people for the job. Look at verse number 5. It says, "There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error on their part, which proceedeth from the who? The ruler." We see here error starts in, we see that error starts in leadership right here. When a person puts someone in leadership who doesn't belong there, whose fault is that? What's it say right there? It's the ruler's. And then he's going to get ready to show us what that error is. Look at verse number 6. When folly is set in great dignities. That foolish man is set. He's set. He's placed there by another person. Maybe that leader didn't do his due diligence. We're very cautious here before we put anybody in a position of leadership. And this would be good for you to know. Because if a person has a desire to be a bishop or to be an elder or to be a deacon, guess what he needs to do first? The work of a deacon, the work of an elder, the work of a bishop. Hey, sometimes people want to be put into positions of leadership before they ever do the work. You got to learn how to serve. And that's how we kind of do things here. We look for those that are serving like Christ. Not just, you've been attending here for a long time. Let's get you on the roster here. Let's promote you to a position. No. And here, it would seem as though that somebody was lifted up and set into a place, a position of authority, dignities, someone that's important. But yet, this man was a foolish man. He did not demonstrate wisdom in his character. Look at verse 7. "I have seen servants upon horses Now, this is what he says. I've seen servants upon horses. There's positions of leadership are out of sorts. They're out of sorts. But then we also see why they're out of sorts, or potentially why they could be out of sorts. So this error that this leader has, this foolish leader, is going to set people in positions that don't belong there, where a wise leader will. And we'll look at that. We'll finish up the rest of those two verses. But B, the possible reason for it, it doesn't necessarily say, but I think there's value here, and we'll see that in Scripture. B, insecurity because of others' potentials. Insecurities because of others' potentials. I've seen this in the workforce, where someone has talent and potential and gifts in their areas, but they're kept down because of fear of maybe they'll exceed their boss, or maybe they'll do a better job than their boss. And a wise leader will see the potential in others and promote them for the greater good of the whole, while a foolish leader will keep down those who have a great potential because of pride and personal insecurities. Look at verse number 7. I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth. It's backwards, isn't it? The prince should be on the horse, but the servant is on the horse. The servant should be walking. Verse 6 talks about, I've seen folly and dignities, foolish men and dignities, while the rich man, the man who's proven himself time and again, maybe by industry or gifts or talents to be able to be profitable therewith, but yet he's not promoted, but the foolish man is. This verse right here, I can't help but think about Jesus. Verse 7, it says, I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth. What do they reference Jesus as in Isaiah? The prince of what? The prince of peace. Does anybody want to realize, so why was Jesus ultimately crucified? It was God's will, yes. But when we look at it through the eyes of man, why was Jesus crucified? Because the Pharisees were jealous of him. Mark 15:10 says, now understand, Jesus was still in control, but this just goes to reveal to you the heart of man. The heart of man. For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for what? For envy. They were jealous of him. They saw his potential, and they saw how he was different, and they saw how he could do things that they couldn't do, and they began to be jealous and envious and insecure. And so all they wanted to do was silence the voice of Jesus at all costs by belittling him, by tearing him down, by killing him at the end of the day. I think there's a great danger, especially in the spiritual when the church is concerned, holding people down who God wants to do great things with. Because when a person, when God has given a gift to an individual, their gift will be clearly seen and it will make room for them. But that envious or insecure leader will hold them down because they're afraid that maybe they'll take the limelight from me. Like the Pharisees were afraid of Jesus because, all men follow him and they don't follow me. But a good, wise leader will do that which is best for the whole. Wise leaders aren't afraid of others' potentials because they're not in it for themselves or for the limelight. But these leaders, these Pharisees, these Sadducees, these leaders were, and it caused them to reject Jesus because of pride. Do you see the difference in the wise leader versus the foolish leader? And I would seriously too, because this doesn't just fall from leadership down. This also goes this way too. Insecurity is of others. Well, maybe they're going to do a better job than me. Remember, why are you doing what you're doing? If you're not doing it for the Lord, then you're doing it for the wrong person, the wrong reason. I know that I'm where God wants me. And I'm doing what God wants me to do. And understanding and finding securement in God and His calling for my life helps bring me to a place where I can see other people's gifts and say, man, you are gifted. Don't waste your gift, first off. Don't let a little sin, don't let a little pride in there. And hey, let me help you step into that. A good leader is going to see the potential for the whole body because it's not all about me. It shouldn't be all about you. It should be all about him and what's best for the body as a whole. And so we see number three, failed workmanship. Now remember, we're talking about the way of the wise man versus the way of the foolish man. Now, we talked about, his view on sin. We talked about, his leadership and the differences. And then failed workmanship. Solomon now comes to the difference in the work of the wise man versus the work of the foolish man, talking about just tangible everyday things. A wise worker will realize he doesn't know everything and is willing to receive instructions from others. Has anybody ever met someone who will not receive instruction? They continue to do the same thing, the same way. You try to tell them, you try to give them, hey, I think you might be doing it the wrong way. And they continue to, I know what I'm doing. Anybody? That was me early on. Sometimes now still my wife lets me know when I'm wrong. But anyhow, no, I'm just kidding. That's why we've been married 24 years. While the foolish man rejects instructions from others and will do things his own way to his own detriment. A, failed workmanship. A, puts himself in unnecessary danger. Unnecessary danger. Look at Solomon. And this is really practical nuts and bolts of daily living right here. This isn't any great theological thing, but it says in verse 8, he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it. Now, just because I go out there and dig a hole, does it mean that I'm necessarily going to fall into it? No. So I want you to understand where Solomon's approaching this from. He's approaching this from the perspective of a foolish man. Okay? He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and he who breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Whoso removeth stones shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. Okay, so he gives us these applications of a guy who's, man, doing some dirt work, and he's digging a hole, and he fell into the hole. Another application of a guy that's splitting some wood, and he's hurting himself. And then another application of a guy moving some stones, and I guess some stones fall on him, and so on and so forth. He's giving these real practical applications. And I think one thing that's clear is that just because you dig a hole doesn't mean you have to fall into it. And just because you split wood doesn't mean you have to be hurt by the axe, or else people are not going to be splitting wood if you're guaranteed to cut off one of your fingers. But there is here the idea of instructions and doing things the right way. There is a wrong way to do things, and there is a right way to do things. When a person is willing to receive instructions because they are right in their own eyes, isn't willing to receive instructions because they are right in their own eyes, it leads to trouble. It leads to trouble, which leads us to our next point. They do things the hard way. They do things the hard way. The difference between a wise man, you ever heard the phrase, work smarter, not harder? Look at verse 10. If the iron be blunt, okay, you're out there, you're splitting wood. Carol, you're out there, man, you got the big old axe. You're out there, you just, she does do that kind of stuff too, so don't let her fool you. She might be small, but she packs a big punch. And she, man, out there splitting wood, if you realize that your axe is getting dull, are you just going to keep splitting wood? Some of us might. Here, what he's talking about is taking the time to sharpen the axe and the difference in working smarter versus harder. The difference of a wise man who's willing to receive instruction versus the foolish man. You know, he's saying, hey, you take that axe and you begin to sharpen it on a whetstone, except you don't put water on the whetstone. He says you have to apply more force, more pressure, more work to get the same results, as opposed to the wise man who will do the job, get the same results, do it faster, do it better. Why? Because he was willing to listen to some man who said, hey, you might want to put some water on the whetstone before you sharpen your axe. Anybody seen the simplicity here? It's real easy to, hence I was 20, and I knew how to do everything, and I didn't want to listen to people. I thought I knew, and now I'm older, and I realize I know nothing. It's funny how the older we get, the less we realize we truly know. When a person is not willing to receive instructions, most of the time they will go about doing things the hard way. I've worked with people. I had a business for a while. I'd tell people how to do things, and there was times where you would have people that would be like, "Hey, man, I want to do this, right?" You know, and they want to do it the right way. And then there was others that would completely do it the opposite. And I'm not saying that you have to always do it, but listen to the counsel of those who know more than you. Don't be so stubborn and obnoxious in your own way and let your pride get so far. You know, one of my prayers is, Lord, help me not to be blinded by my own pride. I need the wisdom of other people. I need the guidance of other people. I do not have all the answers, and neither do you. And so a wise man will be able to receive instructions on how to do things better. When a person is not willing to receive instructions, most of the time they go about it the hard way. There is profit in listening to wise counsel and receiving wisdom. As Solomon puts it, wisdom will direct our steps and will be profitable for us. That last part of the verse, but wisdom is profitable to direct. Wisdom is profitable. There's profit there. There's great profit in wisdom. There's great direction in wisdom. I think about what Proverbs 3:5 says. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. And I love the next part. Be not wise in your own eyes. If everybody's trying to tell you the same thing and you're so convinced it's this way, you might be blinded by your own pride. If somebody's telling me to drive the nail with the flat side of the hammer as opposed to the claw side of the hammer, and I keep trying to do it with the claw side, and I can't get the results that I'm looking for, it's probably because I'm not willing to listen to the counsel around. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil, and it shall be health, health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. We all need wisdom. Don't be the person who rejects wisdom and instruction. And the greatest wisdom comes from God's word right here. See, you might be saying right now, well, I don't have anybody in my life to speak wisdom into my life. I don't have anybody in my life. I don't have a dad, or I don't have a mom, or I don't have a wise counselor in my life. Man, listen, you're kidding yourself right now. Because you absolutely do. You have, in fact, any good counsel that you're going to get from anybody is going to be derived in some form or fashion from God's word. We have been given a whole entire book of God's wisdom that he has already weeded out the unnecessary things, and he has given to us exactly everything that we need to know in this life about him and how he wants us to carry on life and our business in this world. And to the person that would be here, how many of you guys want to be wise? Okay, there's a few of us. The rest of us want to be foolish. How many of you guys want to be wise? Raise your hands. Okay, I just think about seeing. Is anybody in here want to be a fool? Raise your hand. All right, I didn't think so. You know, remember how I told you earlier, your actions speak louder than your words? We can say we want to be wise, and I guess the determining factor is how we're willing to read and follow God's instructions. Because at the end of the day, yeah, I'm going to, man, love you and counsel you and do everything that I can. But ultimately, God's word should be followed. The answers are here if you're willing to listen, because all of us lack wisdom. All of us need more wisdom. None of us are complete in our wisdom. You know, there's nobody in the world that can say, I am complete in all wisdom. Because nobody's God. God created wisdom. James chapter 1, though, does tell us, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of what? God. Let him ask of God for what? Wisdom. But the thing is we got to be willing to listen, because if all we're going to do is pray for wisdom and pray for guidance and pray for direction, and yet we're not willing to wrestle through with what is clearly written. Because God's going to tell us, okay, I want you to do this, but God, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, I understand that it might not make sense to you, but are you going to follow it or not? God, it doesn't seem fair. I understand that it doesn't seem fair, but the question is, are you going to follow it or not? We can't pray, God, give me direction and God, give me wisdom, and then completely bypass His word. And God wants to give us direction. God wants to give us wisdom. Church is more than just showing up to hear some religious speech and then go home for the rest of the week and live the rest of the week. No, this is to propel us into tomorrow morning. Hey, if you don't have a Bible, I want you to read your Bible. The Lord wants you to read your Bible every day. Take a Bible from the seat back in front of you, underneath it. Take it home with you. Every day, one man, just read one chapter a day. Grab wisdom from the Lord. And I think personal application, I think there's a few different things. First, only a foolish person would make light of any sin. Be wise and don't fall for the trap of big versus little sins, because there is no such thing. There is no such things. All sins are big sins. And I think in this vein, you need to pray and ask the Lord, if there are things in your life that are sin, and you know they're sin, but you don't really mind them, you need to pray and ask the Lord to give you a hatred for those sins. You ought to despise any sin that's in your life. I mean, despise it, realizing that those sins are what Jesus died for. And we can't take those things lightly. I think the second thing would be careful of who you promote to leadership, you know. And this was definitely something for me, or give positions of authority to make sure you're not letting envy or jealousy impact your decision. And this can just bleed down with just coworkers and different things like that. I think another thing that we can take from today is, don't be too proud to receive instructions from others. Are you willing to listen to people? And I don't mean just listen. See, God has given us His word. But there's a difference between if somebody comes up and says, hey, I need your help in this situation, can you tell me what to do? And I say, hey, this is what, you know, I think you should do. This is what Scripture says. And they keep finding themselves in the same situation, in the same thing. Eventually, the counseling isn't doing any good, because the person that's asking for the counseling isn't willing to listen. And I think in a lot of ways, we can go to God and God would probably say the same thing to us. He's like, hey, man, you keep praying for the same thing, and I keep giving you the answer, and it's very clear. Don't be too proud to receive instructions from others. Don't be too proud to ask for help when you don't know what you're doing. You know, that guy digging a hole, or the guy splitting the wood, or that guy. You know, there's a lot of things that I realize I do not know what I'm doing. I have no problem reaching out and saying, hey, in this area, I don't know what I'm doing. Hey, Landon, can you help me? I need some help with this. Or I've asked different people for help concerning different things, because I realize that I don't know everything, and I don't want to go into something foolishly, blindly, because I realize I need help. The next thing would be, you will either go through life learning the hard way or the easy way. It's up to you. And God's way is always the easiest way. You know, I think that this sermon, we could boil it down to this way. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. You're either going to go through this life and you're going to follow the Lord's way and you're going to learn from Him, or you're going to go out and do things your own way, the school of hard knocks. I think some of you know what I'm talking about here. But it doesn't have to be that way. You will either go through life learning the hard way or the easy way. It's up to you. It's up to you. If you want wisdom, you must be willing to start your search at God's word. Are you willing? Tomorrow morning, do you have a time and a place? Yes, I know it's far into our culture today, but do you have a time and a place where you read your Bible every day? If you say, I don't have a time and a place, but I purpose to read my Bible every day, you won't read your Bible consistently. You won't, because you don't have a time and a place. That's why do you think our employers give us a time to start? Because if we don't have a starting time, well, when's the work going to get done? When is our day going to start? And I would say this, have a time and a place to open your Bible, to read a chapter of God's Word. Have that time and the place, search His Word. And I think this, the wisest thing a person will ever do is receive the instruction of salvation that God has given to us. You know, the greatest, wisest person will realize that they are a sinner and that Jesus died for them. Well, how does a person come to figure that out? It's not through religion. It's not through tradition. It's through God's word. Jesus, in all of His wisdom, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And to the person that will yield to that and say, Lord, I am a sinner. Lord, forgive me. I need You. I believe that You're the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, save me. To the person that will do that, they're wise. But to the person that will reject that and say, I'm going to do it on my own. I'm good enough. I know Jesus died, but I know I have to bring something to the table. That's the foolish person. And so today, as we prepare, just to have a time of reflection, my wife's going to come and sit at the piano. I would say, with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, but I would ask you this question. How did the Holy Spirit speak to you? I know I muddled through my words all this morning, but I know this, God's word is perfect. And what did He say to you? How did He speak to you? How did He encourage you? What point stuck out to you? Was it the little folly in a person who's, bound for, honor and reputation? Is that you? All of us. God wants to do great things with all of us. Maybe you have little sins creeping into your life. Hey, stop those, confess those things. Get those right before the Lord. Start afresh. Maybe you're someone that doesn't really like to receive instruction like myself, and pride gets in the way of that. People are trying to help you. People are trying to teach you. People are trying to instruct you, but you're just not listening. They're doing it for your benefit. They're doing it for your safety. Are you going to work harder at life, or are you going to work smarter at life? Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God wants to show you the way. He wants to give you rest. But maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you don't understand that if you were to die today, the Bible says apart from Jesus, we would all die and be eternally separated from God in hell. But maybe you want to right now in your seat, put your faith in Jesus and be that wise man and receive the instruction for Jesus and confess to the Lord in your seat, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I believe that you died on the cross for me. I believe you're the way, the truth, and the life. Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wisdom starts there. I don't know how God spoke to you today, but pray it in. Take it home. As the worship team comes, let's pray. Father, I thank you for today, Lord God, and I'm confident that, Lord, any work that is done today in the hearts of men is not because of me, it's because of you. And so, Lord, I trust that your word will penetrate deep into our hearts. Lord, in spite of our frailty and our humanity, Lord God, I pray that you would work wonders in our lives. Lord, I pray that this message, Lord, would bring us to a place to where we begin to see ourselves and to render to you and to see our need for your wisdom as we prepare our hearts for revival. I pray that we would not come to the place where we find ourselves sufficient, Lord, but we're desperately in need of you. Even the wisest man in here, whoever that may be, would say and acknowledge they need you the greatest. Lord, I pray that we would take your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit would come alongside of us and instruct us today by it. I pray that you would give us the ears to be able to hear, but not just to hear. I pray that you would give us the strength through the Holy Spirit to be able to carry out what we've heard, not to just be hearers of the word, but help us to be doers of the word, not just to come to church on Sunday and hear and be motivated, but I pray that internal transformation, conviction, and inspiration of the Holy Spirit would propel us to be different, to be more like you. Lord Jesus, and a wise man will realize we can't do that without you. Lord God, so we pray today, help us. In Jesus' name, I ask all these things. Amen. Let's all stand.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.